This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
In the den this morning, we have Matt Maher. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming into the den. Now, let's just get this. We want to know that you're right with your jet lag and all that kind of stuff. How long have you been in Australia for?
I landed on last Friday morning.
Okay. And how many kind of interviews have you done? Like, are you flat out?
No, well, we played Friday night and Saturday night and then played Sunday in Melbourne. And then, yeah, so we've had a little bit of a break. We had a break, you know, yesterday and stuff. So
good.
So it was good. Yeah.
And I have to apologize. You don't know this, but all when right. Matt came in, I didn't even offer him a coffee straight up.
Oh,
I forgot.
Oh, that's rotten.
I know.
Our hospitality
it's rather bodgy, really.
It's right.
Yes, thank you.
Don't use that
it's
word.
It's catching on, bodgy. It really is.
Oh, wow.
So you're fully recovered. It didn't take you. You don't wish to be asleep right now or anything?
No. I have, you know, a great capacity to sort of lie to myself.
And, all right.
And in this instance, I used it to just once we landed Friday morning, I thought it's 8:30 in the morning and that's it.
It works for you.
That's end of story. So
run through the schedule because I've been to Australia for World Youth Day. You're out here for that.
A year ago.
What is your year like? Are you just zipping all over the world, all over the place?
Well, not all over the world. Typically, I've spent most of the past year and most of the ministry I've been doing has been in the United States and Canada. And so that would be pretty much what it was this past year. We did have a couple of requests come in from Malaysia and stuff like that, but it's not, you know, it's not like you can go, oh, you know, they're having a seat sale. We'll pick up. We'll be there in 2 weeks. You know, it takes a massive amount of infrastructure. So I travel with a band of three guys and this time around they brought their wives. And so there's a whole crew of us. There's like nine people. So it's great. I felt like I have my own entourage this time around. But, but typically the ministry that we do is in the States and in Canada and kind of traveling to different churches or different youth events and, you know, leading worship and very unglamorous, you know, land in an airport and pick up a minivan, rental van and drive to a church and set up and pray with people. And yeah, and really that's the, you know, kind of the heart of what I do. And, you know, and I think honestly, it's just getting to do that. To get to do it in Sydney, it's just great.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that lots of young folk are like this. That's my disclaimer. I'm not saying that. But there would be some young Christian guys and girls who say, "Yep, that's what I want to do. I want to live that and do that and do that whole scene." So my question is, how do you then keep and you do it? I think you do it exceptionally well. But what do you do to go, hey, this is a ministry? I'm not, because you're famous. You are famous. You get, I mean, people will come to listen to your songs, but you'll get more people turn up when you play them because you are famous. So what do you do to keep a lid on that? And say, no, this is a ministry, and anything else is beyond that.
I think fame's a relative term, really, and in comparison to God, because you can't get much more famous. So
he does a pretty good job.
Good point.
Yeah, so you kind of keep that in perspective. And then I think the thing is you know, the way I look at it, it's Paul was a tent maker for a living, the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
But he was an evangelist at his calling. So at my heart, I'm a disciple. I'm an evangelist for the kingdom of God. And I'll go wherever he goes and do whatever he does. And the context might be singing or playing music. It might be serving meals with the homeless. It could be just hanging out with my, you know, the different members of my family who are unchurched. You know what I mean? Like, and so I tend to just try to view life as an opportunity for ministry, where ministry isn't something that you do on a stage. It was never supposed to be that way. That's not, the model that we have is the church and the church's people. So ministry is what you're doing to connect people with Jesus Christ. And so what I get to do on top of it is I get to play music, and it's a lot of fun, but I don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you just know. And the great thing about writing songs that the church sings is that God stretches them out so much further than your means ever could. So it's that keeps you really humble because, you know, I was in an earlier interview and some woman, she threw out some statistic, which I had I'd never even heard. She's like, are you aware that in such a month, 5 million people were singing Your Grace Is Enough? And I'm like,
wow.
No, I really didn't have a clue, but God did. And actually he knows every single one of those 5 million people. And he loves it that they sang that song, because that was his truth. Not because I wrote it, but because it was true before I even ever stumbled upon it as a lyric, you know? And so, I think that's something, when you hear stuff like that, you go, well, that's obviously attributable to God, because I could never do that, you know? And, so that stuff keeps you really humble. And then I think the last thing is, you got to be part of the local church. Everybody, you know, the church is made up of people, and it doesn't matter if you're standing, your platform is thousands of people or your platform is 10 people. Everybody, you need to be part of a community. You need to be in a place where people take you for granted in some way, shape, or form.
That's good. That's a good answer. Yeah. I'm thoroughly impressed.
9.5 out of 10.
Now,
the songwriting thing has been quite huge. You passed a Kathy Tricoli poster before, and you said, oh, two of my songs are on that album. How do you feel when other people...
That's
perform
great.
Perform your works.
I mean, like a braggart at all now. No, right, two of my songs are on that album.
Right after, not at all. Right after the humble comments.
It seemed appropriate to me.
I know what you're saying.
But there's still a great deal of humility, I think, when you're writing songs that someone else will perform. There's a certain amount you'll have to let go of. Especially, you might differ creatively. I don't mean to tell you to tell us some bad stuff, but how does it feel doing that? I mean, is that a thing you do often, writing for other artists and so forth?
I think I love writing with other writers, and that's something that's really been a passion of mine for two reasons. One is because I think two minds are better than one, and you know, I think that's a biblical principle. That's why Jesus sent him out in twos. And so the context of community, I think, is really important to faith. And then I think the second thing is that I think that there's a great reality of unity that happens in the midst of writing with other songwriters and artists, where all of a sudden it's, hey, we're in this together, and it's not about you as an artist, and it's not about me as an artist. It's about, we're trying to create something that gives glory to God. And in the process of doing that, we're also creating a little moment of unity. And one of my favorite songwriting moments was last winter, and I wrote with Chris Holland for a couple of days. And we wrote a ton of songs, and we were just sort of like both just like shocked. We were just like kind of sitting there going, this is ridiculous. Like God is just really amazing, you know. And I remember once I said, I wonder, you know, if part of it's just because it's just, there's a purity to it of, you know, just loving music and loving Jesus and wanting him to be magnified in these songs and not wanting us to be magnified. And I think I think God loves moments like that. And I think he looks for more moments like that, you know? And so I think as a songwriter, I absolutely love it. And it's definitely one of the joys of what I get to do.
Matt, I want to take this conversation to a deeper level.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, here we go.
This is where it all falls over.
No, it doesn't fall over. You live in Arizona, is this correct?
Yes.
Do you follow the Arizona Cardinals?
Wow. That's a topic of contention, really, probably, in my house. The thing about Phoenix is that it's a place full of transitory people. Everybody who lives in Phoenix... 75% of the population are people that are from the Midwest, and they bring with them their team affiliations.
Oh,
I'm dodging the question. You see how I'm doing this?
Well, do you have a team that you follow in the NFL?
Not so much in the NFL. I mean, the Phoenix Suns, I would say I'm a diehard Phoenix Suns fan.
Okay. Is that basketball?
Basketball.
Okay, basketball. Yeah.
Say Philly Eagles, and you'll be right.
Well, this is why I ask, because the Arizona Cardinals last year were the ones that eliminated the Eagles from going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Walloped them, I think, is a fair...
Well, they didn't wallop
no,
them.
No, they played hopelessly. Anyway,
I don't want to have a bone to pick with you. No. But I thought if I did, maybe we could just clear it now and, you know, water under the bridge and we could move on.
Yeah.
So, but you don't even follow the Arizona Cardinals.
No, not really. I'm sorry the Eagles lost.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
Notice I didn't say...
No, you don't ruin it. What yeah, you said is perfect.
Move on quickly. Leave it with that. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry for you.
I'm sorry for you. Oh, wow. I mean, you know what? I met Matt Maher. Oh, really? What did he say? He said, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's all right. That's all right.
And we're moving on.
Yes. Well, look, we'll wrap it up with As It Is in Heaven. Tell us about the song. It's one we play often here on the station, especially yes. after some of our devotions, so our morning Bible study and so forth. Tell us the story about the song.
Well, it's interesting. It kind of goes along with this whole kind of thing of collaborating with people. The song was written and recorded on an independent project I had done several years before I recorded Empty and Beautiful. And that record, Empty and Beautiful, was done. And the label said, okay, we've got a little bit of time before the record comes out. Is there anything you want to do differently? And Blaine Barkas, who works at the label, he came to me and he said, I'd love it if you would relook at this song with Ed Cash, who's a pretty very well-known producer. And you immediately kind of, like, songs are like children. You start to kind of hold on to them too tight. You're like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to, you know, hang a bad pair of earrings on them? Like, what? And so, but Ed and I kind of chatted over Instant Messenger, kind of had an audio chat over the internet, and the chorus was always the same, and we talked. He goes, you know, I've always loved, he goes, I love how this chorus just speaks of the Our Father. And he goes, what do you think of the idea of, like, let's rewrite the verses and let's base them entirely on the Our Father? And so that's what we did. And it was one of these great instances where it's like, you have a little piece of the kingdom. It's your little piece of what you get to do. And if you share it and you let God inject grace into a moment and do something with it, it could become something that impacts a far wider range of people if you're willing to kind of hold it loosely, you know, and say, okay, God, you know, this is yours and you do whatever you want with it.
Well, for the record, I think As It Is in Heaven has a lovely set of earrings on it. I think you did it very well. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.